God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you touch hearts this morning. But above all, I thank you, Lord, that you touch our eyes. I just pray, Lord, that through worship, I believe that you just come and touch our eyes to see. Just to see again what you want to show us. Just to see your kingdom. Just to see the King. Just to see eternity and to see the things of love. To see the things that are of true value. To see the truth. To see through eyes of revelation. To see eyes and with eyes of freedom. God, we thank you that through your grace and through your Spirit, because of your Son, you touch our eyes. One man came to Christ and Christ asked him, what can I do for you? I almost sense the same thing this morning. If it's on your heart to say, Jesus, I want to see, just raise your hand in simplicity. Just say, Christ, I want to see. Christ, we thank you for these hands. Thank you for these hands. These hearts, and we just say, Lord, we want to see. Please come and touch, please come and heal our hearts and our eyes because we want to see. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Thank you that you come and touch our eyes to see. Not only on a Sunday, not only with other believers, but in life. To be able to, by your grace, to see. Father, if God has laid a prophetic word on your heart or a vision, you're welcome to come and share.
God is sorting out entitlement and in his church and in his body and in the world, in the whole. God wants to bring us to a place where we realize everything that we receive is from God. Everything that he does and even the things that go wrong, to keep on looking to God and expecting goodness from him. We're not entitled to anything. Jesus gave up his life for us, and I feel God wants to bring us back to that place where, like we're saying now, we lay down our lives for God. We lay down our lives at his throne. We live to serve his majesty and his majesty only. It's about him. It's not about us. And I just want to pray that over us this morning. If you can just close your eyes. Father God, we just come this morning as a congregation, as individuals, and we come and declare, Lord, that we live to serve you and you alone, Lord. And you reign. You are sovereign. You are King, Father God, and we bow before the King of Kings. You have our lives in your hand, Lord, and whether we're going through tough times, Lord, whether it's going good, you are still with us, Father, and you are ushering us through the season, Lord. And Father God, thank you that it's not about us. We just declare this morning, it's not about us, our lives, our kingdoms, our things, Lord. It's about you, your kingdom, your things, your glory. And we glorify you this morning, Lord. We give it all back to you, Lord. We give you our problems. We give you our blessings, Lord. We give it all back to you, Lord. And we say, to you be all the glory in Jesus' name.
Grab a seat. Thank you so much. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Thank you, Ella. Ons waardeer julle. We appreciate you. I believe that word was just to set up for this morning, because it's just something that God laid on our heart in the series where we're at. But let us pray and trust God for that grace over our eyes and our hearts in this season. Lord, we thank you. We just declare, have your way. Thank you, Lord, that man's faith may not be based on my words, but your Spirit and power, because your Holy Spirit is the helper and the counselor. And it's also the Spirit of truth and wisdom, and we need a lot. Man, oh man, we need a lot. Please grant us the grace for more wisdom, counsel, the honest truth of your Spirit and word. Grant us that grace, and then grant us the healing for our eyes, the healing for our hearts, in entirety, in Jesus' name. Help us, and thank you that we will be able to see by your grace. Amen. Yes, I'm very excited this morning of just what the Lord has laid on my heart. And the great thing is that, I guess with some messages, it's more true than with others. This one is definitely not a message that I'm sharing because I've nailed it. All but. Who's seen that Instagram, Facebook type of memes where they've got this beautiful thing out of a magazine, and then somebody to try to bake or make the same thing, and then it just, they write down, nailed it at the bottom. So in other words, it's this perfect thing. They try cooking or baking this amazing thing, and then they just screw it up, and it looks weird. It's got knickknacks all over. It just doesn't weird. It's just done. Who's seen that except for me and Edna? Okay, great. Great, great, great. Amen. So you'll just catch my heart here. I should have actually put up a photo, I'll remember. But it's almost like that with this teaching this morning, with this sermon, is that I believe God made it very clear that this is what I should share on, but it's not because I've nailed it. It's really because my heart needs this. My life needs this all to more. And I guess in future as well. God said to us at the beginning of the year, without going into too much detail, he said to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. And we just knew that God is saying to this church community, to us as believers and to our families, in our marriages, seek first the king and kingdom, and the rest shall follow. Now sometimes that seems easier than it is, but God is faithful to his word, and I've seen that in many of your lives and in our life. But to understand what seek first really means, we just said, we're not taking it out of context. We're just trying to put a Christian spin on that. What does that actually mean? It's nice to say hashtag this and hashtag that, but what does it mean for my life? So we've had a couple of weeks. If something rhema's in your heart, go and listen to the sermon. But we can go to the next slide. Sorry, Dominic. Thank you. We just said to each other, seek first wisdom. We want to be wise people. We want to know what God is saying. We obviously seek the kingdom. What does it mean? The king and the kingdom. Who's this king of our kingdom? We shared, what is the kingdom that is at hand? Then we said that we need daily fresh bread, but what does that mean? What is the spiritual fresh bread God laid on our heart? Last week, Chris shared all the basics around the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're seeking first the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor. We're saying, please help, we need help. And today, as you've seen before, we're just going to chat about thankful hearts. What is a thankful heart? Quickly, what is the things that you are thankful for right now? Just, if you need to bring thanksgiving to God, what are you thankful for in this moment? His presence. Amen. I think that's number one, two, and three in my life as well. What are you thankful for? For families. Amen. Solid friends. I'm trying to lose weight, but thanks, Bianca. I understand what you're saying. Solid friends. Yes, amen. Solid friends. Anything else? What are you thankful for? Who finds it difficult to find something to be thankful for this morning? And it's not a shame. It's not a problem. But who needs to think three times for something that you're thankful for? Nobody. Great. Okay, cool. So maybe this is not a sermon for you guys. We chat next week. What are you thankful for, Chris? My health. Yes. Yes. Anything else? What are you thankful for? Grace. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give God a hand for that. She said, after 11 years, their families have come together to meet for the first time after their marriage. Okay, we're not going to go on. That's kind of a clincher. That's something to be thankful for. But it's a great exercise. And as I said, it's not something that I so easily get right. But let me not run ahead of myself. Andrew Murray said the following, which some of you have probably read behind my back. Let us thank God heartily as often as we pray that we have His Spirit in us to teach us to pray. So it's just a nice follow-up of what Chris shared with us last week. Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God. Just focus. Just take that in. Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God and keep us engaged with Him. How powerful is that one sentence? Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God and keep us engaged with Him. It will take our attention from ourselves. This is beautiful. It will take our attention off ourselves and give the Spirit room in our hearts. I think that's a sermon in itself. We can actually just close shop and do an altar call right there. Because I believe that's the heart of today's message. I like to get things done. I love vision. If I spend time with God and it's longer than a half an hour, if we've not chatted about vision, it was not a good quiet time. It's just, Edna goes in, I've told this joke before, well, it's a joke to me, but for her, it's real life. She spends 1 to 3 hours with the Lord, and I come out, it's like, what's the plan? What did God say? And she's like, He didn't say much. Ons was net. Ons het net gewees. How do you say that in English? We just were. We just was were. We hanged. I'm like, what on earth is that? You need vision. I need a ball. I'm like, my score point. I need a ball to run after constantly. And if I don't, it's just really tough. Or if I'm hooked and I can't go for the ball, it is quite tough. Now, that's the good side of it probably. But the other thing is in our culture, as Edna rightly said earlier, we just constantly want things to be done. We just want things to be done right now. If I send an email, if I don't get an email back, if you're in corporate, I know it's not the truth. I know it doesn't happen like that. But if you don't get an email back later on this afternoon or tomorrow morning, you're kind of ticked off. If somebody don't answer your WhatsApp or your message or your phone call, you get frustrated. And so we find ourselves in this difficult situation that things don't often work the way we like them to work. But we're going to share on that just now. Let's quickly stop at what is Thanksgiving and what is a thankful heart before we get to the place where we don't get what we want. Because I believe that's sometimes a bit of a problem. And God wants to maybe put His finger on that and help us this morning. Who of you guys can truly say that you carry constant thanksgiving in your heart? You get people like that. That's amazing. And then you get other people, as I just said, but that constantly think that I don't have what I need and I don't have the ball. I don't have what I want at the moment. I can trust God for the breakthrough to get new chairs. And the moment I get the chairs, I realize, man, I don't have the keyboard yet. And the moment I've been fasting and praying and say, God, bah, there's the keyboard. Amazing, but where's the guitar? And so in our culture, I put a bit of a spiritual spin to it. In our culture, it's almost the same thing. Who wakes up and think, I've everything that I ever wanted? Who's ever had that moment? Amen. Only Dominique. She'll be praying afterwards. Thank you, Dominique, for everybody. Edna's also had it. She'll help you in praying. But it is a tug of war sometimes just to open up your eyes and think, that moment of contentment, that moment of thinking and knowing, God, I'm satisfied. I'm not without vision, but I'm satisfied in this moment. The definition of being thankful, you can go to the next slide, please. The next one after that. Thank you. The definition of thankful, and why are we looking at definitions? Because I believe there's a hidden gem hidden down below. So you have to focus. You know what thankful is. You know what thanksgiving and thank you is. But let's just keep focused because I know that there's a hidden gem that we need to take home today through the Spirit. Thankful is to be aware, appreciative, of a benefit, grateful, glad that something has happened or not happened, that something or someone exists, of relating to, etc. Thanksgiving, now we look to the Hebrew. If you go look in the word, the original Hebrew word for thanksgiving is yada or yado. It is an extension of the hand, an adoration, a cry of worshippers, a confession, a sacrifice of praise. Thanks or thanksgiving. An extension of the hand. It's amazing. That's the first part of the definition. Thanksgiving. Who comes out of a religious background or a very staunch religious background, you don't have to put up your hand. Or if it's difficult, we need to pray for you. But for some of us, it might have been so difficult to raise your hand towards God for the very first time in your life. Who's had that? So you were born like worshipping, or was there a tug of war in your life some other time to raise your hand to God? There probably was. There was certainly in my life. And so it's so beautiful to say thanksgiving. It's just like you can't help yourself. It's just like, hallelujah, dankie Here for what he's doing. An extension of the hand and adoration. Keep with me. We're going to a deeper definition. That's the Hebrew. Hebrew mostly through the Old Testament. In the New Testament, thanksgiving is from the Greek. And that's very important for me. You can go to the next slide. And please bear with me with these words. But the Greek word, if you go and look in the word for thanksgiving, is Eucharistia. Eucharistia or Eucharistiu. It's very close together, so we're not going in that deep. But just remember that Eucharistia is the Greek word for thanksgiving in the New Testament. And you'll see why it's important, or why I believe it's important. It is gratitude, actually grateful language to God as an act of worship. Thankfulness. Who's ever experienced Eucharistia in their life? Okay, the rest of you guys, what on earth are you doing here? No, I'm just joking. But it is a nice thing to do, but it comes from the inside. You have this Eucharistia, Eucharistiu moment with God where you just worship Him. A nice example, just to explain it at the hand of an example, was when Jesus, the multiplication, where He fed the 5,000, break bread. He did what first? He thanked God before He broke the bread. And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to Him. In the original language, He gave thanks, reads Eucharistia or Eucharistiu. And that's important, and you'll see just now why. Before, He could have just done the miracle. He didn't have to say thank you or anything, we or the flesh might think. But it's so important that He first stopped and said, and He knew that a miracle is about to happen. God is about to multiply and give food to 5,000 people. God is about to enter the room. God is about to enter this problem. I just love what Tish shared this morning. And just with authority, He just gave thanks, and He knew what was coming. And that's a moment, and I believe just to soak in what God is saying to us as a church. You can go to the next slide. The root word of Eucharistia or Eucharistia is charis or charis, meaning grace. Meaning grace. You might think, well, no, that's not that interesting. But I believe as we unpack it, it's really, really important. Jesus took the bread, saw it as grace, and gave thanks. He took the bread and knew that it was a gift, and He gave thanks. Eucharistia, thanksgiving, in the Greek, has in its completion the word grace in it. If you bring thanks, if you bring thanksgiving to God about anything, you're doing what? You're saying thank you to the grace that is given you. What happened in that moment of the bread being broken? Christ said thank you. He said grace. He said this is going to be a momentous occasion, a moment of grace. What is grace, guys? Grace is when I receive something that I do not deserve. Grace is when I receive something that I do not deserve. Keep in the back of your mind, we've just spoken about, or God maybe just spoken about entitlement. Think of the culture we're in. Trust the Holy Spirit just to paint this picture for us. Thanksgiving, in Greek, is Eucharistia. Within that word lies the word grace. Grace means I receive something, you receive something that you do not deserve. If you see that, the thing that happens is your hands go up. If you don't see charis in Eucharistia, it's just religion. Your hand won't go up. If you don't see it as grace, it will not be grace to you. If you don't see it as grace, it will not go over into thanksgiving at all. You can go to the next slide, please. Thanksgiving and grace. Remember this. Let's make a knot in your tail. Thanksgiving in grace is inseparable. True thanksgiving, biblical thanksgiving, and grace, the grace of God, is inseparable. I cannot give true thanksgiving out of my heart to God if I believe whatever I have and everything I have in my life is deserved, is self-deserved. I cannot be standing here preaching and saying, or you come to me and say, Here, Tifa, goeie woord, broer. I said, oh, yeah, alle glorie vir die Here, dankie, broer. But in my heart, I'm actually thinking, well, I worked so hard. I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been running around. It's actually just well-deserved. And I say, oh, all the glory to God. My hands go up and it's just feeble and it's just fake. And it gives no glory to God. Because the true heart of grace is not in that thanksgiving. I'm not realizing that I'm saying, Johan, het jy enige idee waar my lewe sou wees as dit nie vir Jesus was nie? Weet jy hoe dankbaar is ek dat ek daai woord kon preek? Dit is net genade. And in that oomblik, in that moment, there's a moment of thanksgiving. There's a moment of realization, I do not deserve this moment. I could not, for the life of me, without Christ and without grace, bring this moment of thanksgiving. This is not really very deep, but I hope we're together on this. Because I believe it is also very deep. But we need to take that nugget of gold with us. Grace is unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. In other words, it's just you get from God what you do not deserve. Bah, point blank. We got that from the Lord through Christ. We're not going to go into the deepness of that. Just remember these two things. Thanksgiving and grace is inseparable. If true thanksgiving come out of your heart, it means that there's a true revelation of the grace in that moment. If somebody comes and they bless me with a pair of shoes, and I put it on, and I give true thanksgiving to God, I realize that what I've just received is absolute grace. This gift has been absolute grace. If thanksgiving in that moment is lacking from my heart, I'm just not seeing the grace of that moment. I'm probably entitled then, thinking that, well, I've been going through this tough desert with the Lord and He's taken away my job and He's just screwed me over, and so I really actually deserve this pair of shoes. And by the way, I deserve so much more than that. I deserve this friends, and I deserve better replies, and I just deserve a lot of better support, etc., etc. And grace is just sucked out of that. So what is the enemy doing? Wherever God is just blessing your life, wherever God is at move, and thanksgiving should be the thing that you seek first and come from your heart, the enemy will just try to take the grace moment out of that. Just take you into the flesh and say, well, you actually deserve that. You actually really honestly deserve that. So I have everybody's heart before I just whack that thing skew. Are we taking that home? Are we taking that home? Amen. Thanksgiving and grace is inseparable. Now, quickly, what is the opposite of thanksgiving? What is the opposite of a thankful heart? Grumbling? Yes. Entitlement? Yes. Selfishness? Yes. The opposite is to of grateful is being ungrateful. To saying thank you and thanksgiving is to be ungrateful. Thank you so much. This is just a warning for our hearts. Just to say, Lord, we just bring our hearts to you just this morning. We scroll down in Facebook. We see what's going on in the media. You see how your neighbors operate. You see how people in church operate. I was actually in Cape Town on Friday. We have our off days on Friday. I went for a jog and I went into the shop. And here I met a friend. He was a year younger than me. Also studied law. And in a moment, I'm just being very honest now. Our lives, and it wasn't like I was comparing, I don't want his life, and I bet you my bottom dollar he doesn't want my life at this stage either. But in that moment, I was just confronted with my past. He's now a director at a very big law firm. he's doing a lot of stuff that he just then told me about. And in a moment, I had this reflection. Here in my sweaterige oefenklere. I was just standing there, and I was pretty small in that moment. And everything in my life just had to get quick perspective. At the moment, I was off guard. I don't know if anybody, I think somebody's catching my heart here, but I was off guard in that moment because I was standing in a mirror. And I'm thinking, 14 years down the line, where am I? What am I doing? What am I busy with? And I quickly had to just rub my heart's eyes just to get godly perspective quickly, because my life looks vastly different than this guy's life. And we were heading for the exact same direction. So we have this, and now I just need to search my heart. What am I thankful for? What is the grace that I really have in my life? It's a bit of a deep point. I hope it's for somebody. But I had this moment, and I needed to get back to, what am I grateful for? What is the eternal value of the things in my life, and what is God doing? But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather of lovers of God, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying the power, avoid such people. Who've seen any of that attributes of fruit in our modern day culture? Who's seen that? Anybody? A lot. Quite a lot. It's not fees must fall. It's not Zuma must fall. It's everything just must fall. If I don't like it, it must fall. If I don't want to pay for petrol, it must fall. If I don't want to pull up my socks, I guess they must fall. Everything must fall if it does not go according to my plan or idea. We've got an entitlement culture. And the fruit is there on the plate for us to eat. You just go into the media, you go into conversations, you go into the shop, it's just constantly there for you. Just have a bite. Because you know what? Just have a bite of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because you actually deserve all of that. This nonsense that you have to suffer as a Christian, who thought of that? Just have a bite of this apple. You're actually entitled to a blessed life and a new car and a lot of other stuff. Just have a bite. Come, just have a bite. And it's constantly just feeding this nonsense to us of absolute entitlement, and the scripture just warns us, hey guys, you don't have to beat yourselves, don't martyr yourselves, chill it out, just be obedient, but just be careful of the culture, just be careful of the spirit of this culture, being totally ungrateful for everything. Where grace is not even, I'm rightfully having those, or I rightfully need a lot of that stuff. And please hear my heart, there is righteous causes out there because of unrighteousness. I'm not speaking against that. I'm not saying all of that is wrong. All of the things in the past we should just forget. Please, this is not a political speech. It's just saying be careful of a prevailing spirit of this age. I'm not saying that there's not good causes to fight. Can we say amen to that? Did you hear my heart? I'm not saying, yes, some people might have to get free education. I don't know. I'm not in the circumstances. What I'm against is against the spirit that prevails, that steals the grace and the thanksgiving and the thankfulness out of hearts, because that blinds us. That's what I'm against. I think we hear each other on that point. You can go to the next slide, please. These two beautiful girls are almost thought of my two little ones. They're just saying to one another, no, no, your parents obviously misled you. The world actually revolves around me. Oh, that's a sampling moment. Great stuff. Now the world is not around me. No, no, your parents obviously misled you. The world actually revolves around me. And I guess that's so part and partial of what we might get fed in our culture. No, 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 you've got it all wrong. Please be humble. Liefie, it's not about you, it's actually about me. And ironic, I believe we've got those moments in our home, to be honest. But then God just needs to take our hearts back to a place to be careful of the moments of ungratefulness. Moving on, just to the next slide. This is just an ad so that we can just know what we're talking about. It gets summed up like this. Thanksgiving, we acknowledge the goodness of God. With praise, we acknowledge God's greatness, and with worship, we acknowledge His holiness. So just remember that if you want to know where it fits in this, the bigger scheme of things. I'm not going to break it all down. We're at number one, and we're going to stay there today. God is saying to us, seek first a thankful heart. Seek first one that is full of thanksgiving. Seek first the one that sees the grace of God and takes the grace of God by hand. A heart that is not ungrateful. That is what we're aiming at today. So now, I might say to you, hey, Oom Johan, hey, Chris, hey, Aku, have a thanksgiving heart. And you say, well, that sounds great, but how? How do I have this thanksgiving heart? How do I have a heart of thankfulness if I've been hurt so much? If almost every day I have taken a bite of those ungrateful apples and that entitlement apples that's been fed to me in our culture, and it's just clogged my heart. What do I do now? How do I get to a place where thankfulness is just every day? Remember I said about myself that I like to conquer, I like to go, I like to see things get done. In other words, I can more easily see the glass sometimes half empty rather than half full. Because I can wake up and think, well, I've got the carpet, I don't have the piano or the keyboard yet. And I need to constantly retrain myself, this is my battle, to wake up and say, God, thank you for this carpet, it's amazing. It's amazing. Not saying, Lord, I want another child. Thank God for the children you have. God, I want financial breakthrough. Go look at this memorial stones of the many times that God has come through. God, I want a good friend. Just remember how many times God has befriended you before. How are we going to have thankful or thanksgiving hearts? What are we going to do? We're going to look to Paul. We're going to look to Paul. Say, hey, Paul. Okay, don't say, hey, Paul. We're going to still look to Paul. A man who had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving in the midst of great adversity. When he had been imprisoned in Rome, Paul wrote the following. Who of you have gone to prison? Who of you? Can I ask this? Yeah, I guess I can. Now, if you have, don't put up your hands. It's a rhetorical question to state a fact or just sketch a pin. Don't put up your hand. Maybe it's embarrassing. But if you've gone, all good. But I would just want to know afterwards if you were singing in prison. Because I would have probably not had that attitude like Paul. Let's read Scripture. Ephesians 5, 19 to 20. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine being in Paul's prison. Writing to your friend, you might have a cell phone if you've got contacts. On your cell phone, just sending a couple of WhatsApps. Hey, brothers, as you live here, so is sing a bitchy. Sing a parlikies for the Here. Imagine that. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he was in prison. By the way, my friend does prison ministry at Paulsmoor. And the testimonies that comes out of Paulsmoor is amazing. You actually still get people in prison that have this attitude. They don't get there with this attitude many a times, but they leave that place with that attitude. Each and every time we connect, or mostly when we connect, he tells me testimonies of these guys in prison. So this is a tongue-in-cheek joke, but praise God that in the midst of even those horror situations, God can bring forth thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God always for everything. Who of us give thanks to God always and for everything? Not really. Who wakes up in the morning and think, I've got a lot to do, I've got a lot to accomplish, and there's a lot of stuff that I need to get? You actually get people that wake up and they're just full of thanksgiving. It's just this amazing. It's really amazing. I'm not saying that it becomes corny, because sometimes it can become fake. Let's be honest, as Christians, we can sort of high five, brood, and we can be all this and that, but meanwhile, back at the ranch, you're actually so depressed, you don't want to live. But you're like, gaat gaan goed, en nee, geseen, dankie. So I'm not talking about that one either, because unfortunately, the devil also gives that facade, gives that mask to some Christians, and we need to be aware of that. But there's really guys that wake up and think, man, life is just good. You're too blessed to be stressed. And it's actually people that they're married and they've got children. And they're just so
full of thanksgiving. But I believe there's a great key. There's a great spiritual key for us all in that. Let's grow into such a place. Now, how do we get to a place of thanksgiving? Who believes it is when everything goes right and your emotions just loves it and then automatically thanksgiving springs forth? Who thinks that is the way? In other words, after 20 years of struggle, everything just comes down and it's just now all sorted out. I feel happy, I feel so much better, and then I go over into thanksgiving. Does anybody think that is the case? It's easy to... Sometimes, yes, actually it does sometimes. Jenny, with your positive attitude, I might think that it happens in your life. Definitely so. But definitely not for the majority of people. And definitely not that often. But I believe there's this great spiritual key for us here. I'll just put it the way I think it should be said. Thanksgiving starts as an acknowledgement by choice of a fact that God is good. Always good and good towards me. This I believe. It's not the fullness of thanksgiving. It is many times the start of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving starts as an acknowledgement by choice of a fact that God is good, always good and good towards me. Can I have an amen to that? Who of you walks in on a Sunday morning, hare nog 'n bietjie te mekaar, kinders 'n bietjie neelerig, manne 'n bietjie grumpy, and you just want to worship the Lord? Not everybody. Who of you has gone surfing? Hier is twee surfers. I've tried it, so I have a bit of a testimony, but Thanksgiving is kind of like going for a surf. You need to paddle. You need to work hard to get to the back line, to catch a wave, to come out. And sometimes you get in there, it's regtig koud. Dis baie, baie koud. Dis regtig koud. And you get in, your head is throbbing. Maybe you're not the most athletic surfer that's ever hit a mini-mal in Melkbos ever. And so you struggle bloody hard to get through the waves. You get whacked back a couple of times, and then by the grace of God, you get over one, and then maybe a second. And at the end of the day, you might get to a place where now you can try to catch a wave. And you think, why am I doing this? Why am I trying so hard? I'm exhausted. I can't even lie on the board, let alone stand on it and have balance. There's a reason for this weird picture. But sometimes I believe thanksgiving and worship to God might be like that. It's that you need to work a little to get there. But then, and I've tasted this about 3 times in my life, all less than 10 seconds, I guess, but it was pure ecstasy. Then you have this moment where you stand on this board and the momentum of this wave takes you and it's just like you're king of the world. There's kindertjies met grafies hierso en daarso, but you riding this wave, you're just the man. And it is so amazing. It just takes you to new places. But it just takes you to something that you've not experienced before. Let's go back to the surfboard. And then you have this moment. But that's almost like it is sometimes for your flesh. You need to work hard. You need to decide. I'm going into this cold water. I'm going to... Firstly, you're going to get back to your car. I'm going to brace this wetsuit. And I'm going to try to get into it. I'm going to ask my wife, that lady under the umbrella, and that guy that is busy playing with his kid to try and help me zip this thing up. So that's sometimes for some of us where worship starts. And then you brace the water, your head throbbing. The real surfer there is thinking, what the hell? This guy's been here for 3 years and it's still the same as day one. But you brace all of that. You brace the fear of man and you brace the fact that you're not feeling that great until that moment where the Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit takes over, where you go from the flesh and working a bit hard. I'm going to obviously afterwards say, hey guys, it's not about a flesh work and it's not about striving. That's not the heart, but it's about a couple of decisions. It's about getting my act straight, my attitude straight by saying that, yes, it goes contrary to what my flesh actually feels like. Jokingly what I've said now, but there comes a moment when you catch that wave and these guys, ask them afterwards, they can truly explain to you how it works. But it is really quite awesome. And then it just takes you off. It's not your momentum. You didn't make the wave. You didn't create the wave. Most of us, we didn't even make the board. but you're having this amazing moment with God. And Thanksgiving is kind of like that. It took a very long while to explain it, but I believe you've got the picture. What does Scripture say? That's more important than my surfing analogy. Let's go to Scripture. A thankful heart, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into the presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. There comes a moment where we decide to take the truth of God and make it our own, not based upon our own emotions. Where we go into the water, where we paddle hard, we don't care the consequences of this little bit of suffering for that moment where the Spirit of God takes over and says, yes, I can work with humility. Yes, I can work with the one that abides in me. Yes, if you take a step to me, I'm already there. That is the beautiful things of Thanksgiving. And as we see in the Scripture, it just brings us to a place to bring perspective to unlocking hearts. Now, firstly, if we go back to verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Who's been called to worship God? Who's been called to worship God? The whole earth. Everybody. Everything that is made, that is ever made. Is everybody's hearts there? No. Does that make God less worthy of praise? No, it doesn't. It's just the fact that our eyes cannot see, or their eyes cannot see the glorious God that we serve. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Many times, even as charismatics, I want to experience the Lord. I want to feel the Lord. And I'm one of the guys that say, yes, there's an experiential part, a great experiential, physical part of our relationship with God. That's how He made relationships. It's a picture to us. He's a loving father to a son. If that means no feelings, no experience, then it's just weird. So I'm all for that. But sometimes we want to get into God's presence, but on our terms, with our entitled hearts, with our hardened hearts, saying, come and change me with your presence. Yet Scripture calls us to a place of humility, a place of teachability even for some of us, a place of rendering your heart hard and saying, I'm not that entitled. I'm actually man and you're God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. If we need to seek first the Lord, this is how we do it. We make a decision. We sing to Him. We battle the waves and all of a sudden they become our friend. We battle into the Spirit and all of a sudden He takes us and He sees, wow, I can work. I'm close to those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I can take you far. I can give you all the momentum you need. You can serve this one out. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. So beautiful how the psalmists say to us, hey man, when it comes to a thankful heart, just get the order right. Get the authority right. Get the positions right. He is God. You are man. For how many Christians is that so difficult because of the culture we live in? If I'm so entitled, if the world revolves around me, it's kind of difficult to put God in His rightful place. And accordingly, it's difficult to have a thankful heart. It is very simple, yet if we miss it, you can waste a lifetime. And we don't want to waste a lifetime. That's why we here today. Know that the Lord, He is God. So know that. If you struggle with a thankful heart, say, Lord, are You rightfully on the throne of my life? Or am I actually now and again just hopping onto the throne saying, why aren't things working out for me? Oops, let me get off. God, You're welcome. It is He who made us. He made us. We did not create Him. Even the charismatic church sometimes need to realize that, no, we did not create God. He created us. We are His sons and daughters, His servants. And we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is not my God, I am His people. Yes, he is my shepherd, but he's not firstly my shepherd. Hey, shepherd, let's go.
I am his sheep.
And we all know the attributes of sheep. We don't have to regurgitate all of that. I think we've dealt with it this year. But it's just a beautiful place where this guy's heart is. Just saying, God is in his place. He's beautiful, he's lovely, he's good. But we've got our facts straight, and I'm his people. I am the sheep of his pasture. I'm not the one that clicked my fingers and he jumps. The Amplified says, know and fully recognize with gratitude that the Lord himself is good. Remember, what are we doing? We're setting ourselves up for the Lord to help us to have grateful hearts, to have thankful hearts, and to be a people of thanksgiving, to have eyes that can see. Know and fully recognize with gratitude that the Lord himself is God. He is God, nothing else. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Excuse. What happens there is if you've been caught up in either wrong culture, tradition, religion, or your Western entitlement, then what happens here if you let your heart before the Lord? What happens is a recalibration of your heart. A recalibration. Who needs a recalibration of the hearts to be one of absolute thankfulness? Me. And there's no shame about it. Praise God that we can just ask, say, Lord, please come. I just realize, man, I'm just so entitled. I just need you to recalibrate my heart, please. Well, that's all. He comes and does that. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Remember, we're chatting about thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. This refers to the temple or to the to the temple or the tabernacle, but the temple in this case, entering the gates there, and that's in that time, God was obviously for them within the temple or within the tabernacle. His presence today, we are the temple, but we're not going to break all of that down. Just to remember, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I don't walk in there like, ugh, sak geld, dankie. I don't walk in there. If I walk in with that stinking attitude, I'm not getting anything. And yes, then I'm not going to like God because I will not meet him. But if I go and say, no, I humble myself, I'm not that entitled. He's God, I'm man. I'm sheep in a pasture. Wow, he's done so much. Grace, yes, got a lot of grace in my life. Poops, up goes the hand. Man, Lord, how are you doing? Praise God. You have a moment. You meet up with him. There's a connection. Don't know if you're going to get suck help. But you're going to get much more than that if you truly meet with God. And because of verse 4, we go into verse 5. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So now we say to each other, firstly, how am I going to be thankful? We say, we make a decision. We hold our hearts up and we say, God, help us with our hearts. He does that. But there might come another question up in our hearts. Why be thankful? Why, truly, why be thankful? I've had such a tough life. So many things have happened to me. Why the heck should I be thankful? Let's quickly look at that before we end off. The first reason is, it is how we correctly approach God. You cannot but, with thanksgiving, come to God. If we look at Psalm 100, it's quite clear. I'm not going to go at length into that. And the reasons that we're thankful to the Lord is threefold if you look at Psalm 100. For the Lord is good. Yeah, but so many things have happened. You don't know how hurt I've been. You don't know how this jail feels. Yet Paul made that distinction. Paul had that moment where he decided. And as he decided, the miracle signs and wonders followed. As he decided, in came the counsel and the presence and the help of the Holy Spirit. As he made that decision, that acknowledgement of the truth, God is good. Even though there were snakes and shipwrecked and hungry and cold, he mentions all of them. You see the fruit that comes from thanksgiving in his life. How much the more? Yes, I know some of us have been through hell and back. And I don't disregard that in a moment. And God will work us through that. But what we need to steer clear of is a hardened heart, because God can't work with a hardened heart. And a hardened heart is not going to go into the presence of the Almighty God. Three reasons to be thankful. God is good. The Lord is good. His love is everlasting. It's not a momentary thing. His love is everlasting. He's faithful to and through all generations. His testimonies is there. Go and listen to the testimonies. I said this before quickly. We went through a tough patch, we ventured out as God led us a couple of years back. And then it seemed like everything was going pear-shaped. It didn't work out. And my heart was many times at a place where I could so easily have, with the wrong thinking, hardened my heart. And then God just one day, just in a vision, showed me my own Bible, holding it up. And He said, this is the testimonies. This is your testimonies. Because what was happening is I also knew of some other people that walked out and trusted God. And things went pear-shaped. Now, I don't know what happened in their situations. Yet the enemy tried to echo that to me. It's like wanting to have a child and all you hear from Christians having miscarriages. The enemy sometimes just sets up these things. And you're like, no. Where's Hannah of the Bible? Where's Jesus Christ and Maria? Where's the testimonies? And then God just took me back to the Word and says, these are the stories that you need to look at. These are the testimonies. God's faithful through all generations. Why do we need to be thankful? Because God commands us to be thankful. The next slide, please. We're almost done. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord, what the word of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Like Chris said last week, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is just echoing Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That's a good thing. Give thanks in all circumstances, all circumstances. If thanksgiving only came out of a place of your emotions, it's then for your flesh impossible to give thanks in all circumstances. Or it can be fake. But that doesn't help any of us. For it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Just by the way, on that point of coming out of the emotions. Yes, sometimes you make the decision. The Spirit comes like the wave. You catch the wave. And then you're in a place where it automatically follows. And thanksgiving comes out of your heart without further mission. And then the last point, and many of you have asked me this morning why I'm wearing my glasses. Now, I've been wearing glasses since, I think, standard 3, and then I told the story to about 6 people this morning, and then got contacts from standard 5 or something. And in this week, the optometrist just said, well, your eyes need to rest more, and it needs to get some more air, so less contacts, more glasses. That's the one reason. But it also made me think of why I need a thankful heart. And there was just a bit of a parallel that God just dropped in my heart. Is that I might look like Retief. I feel so stupid. The moment I do this, I feel so stupid. But it's maybe a good thing in humility and getting me to have a thankful heart. I cannot see Johan's face. I know it's Johan because I've got a bit of a memory. And like 4 moments ago. But I cannot see his face at all. I'm so nearsighted, I can see to probably here. Now, nobody knew that. This is just the weirdest thing ever. Just look through that. My dad's, when we were younger, people had like thick lenses. Yeah. That just shows how good my eyes is. I can actually see through it. Like the Coke bottle lenses. My eyes, my father jokingly always said, this guy should actually have great eyes because he can see through it. But you can take my glasses and realize that I think the prescription is -5.5 or 6. That's quite rough. But nobody would know if I take off my glasses. But I definitely know. It's very obscured. I cannot drive home like this. Not even on memory. Either I saw you move. I didn't see your face, but I saw you move. This is a weird experience, but I believe without a thankful heart, that is exactly where we are at emotionally and spiritually. You have vague impressions of things, but it's totally blurred and obscured. I believe a thankful heart opens up something to bring God's perspective in life. Otherwise, I wake up like this every morning, and life just sucks. I can't see. I can't move, Lord. I don't have enough, Lord. God, you're not close. You're not with me. Yet there's a moment where that by His grace and thanksgiving into my heart where He comes and He just gives me back vision. And all of a sudden, I don't think for the next day. I don't think for the next month. I think eternity. I stand in that shop like I did Friday night and I see this. I'm not judging this gentleman. He might just be exactly where he needs to be with God. But as a lawyer, I'm not there. And in that moment, I was caught unguarded. And I did not have my glasses on. And I did not see eternity. I saw Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. That's what I couldn't see. I didn't see eternity. I didn't see God's goodness in the moment. It was all blurred in that moment. And I had to pray first. I needed to get a heart of thanksgiving in that moment to say, oh, okay, well, that's where I'm at. God is good. Yes, this is what God is doing. Yes, if there's suffering in my life, that's the reason. If there's lack, seemingly lack, this is the reason. This is what God is doing. And immediately, perspective just came back. Thankfulness transforms your spiritual and emotional state. Who's ever been down in the dumps and yet you decide to start thanking God? Who's ever done that? You start worshiping the Lord as an act of sacrificial worship and almost warfare. The worship that comes out of that is so beautiful. It is so real because it comes out of a broken place. It's like, oh, ek sukkel, ek hartery branders, my kop is koud, and ek lyk simpel. And the moments later, you're on that board, and it's just an awesome moment with God. He just comes and He just flushes the entitlement and the lies and the nonsense out of your system, and you realize, man, you are God and I'm just your son. I am man. The second thing, remember, we're talking about a true or right perspective. Now, the second thing I wanted to mention there, thanksgiving transfers my ego-centered focus. True thanksgiving gives perspective, and it takes my self-awareness, my self-centered ego-ness for life and the things in my life. It just takes that away. It cleanses me to give me a God perspective. All of a sudden, not thinking of what I lack, I realize, hectic, Johan's whole family is coming down for Christmas. I get a heart for him in that moment. And I realize, petrol, food, how many eggs? How many slices of toast can that be? How many liters of petrol? And coffee? Just imagine, not even speaking about the dishes. All of a sudden, God just takes a joke. It's going to be amazing. Here, dankie net. They're just naturals. But they're going to thank God for the amazing family that they do. But anyway, so there's this moment where you forget about yourself and you start actually seeing other people. And then the last one that is really dear to my heart and which brought forth most of this message is that through thanksgiving, we enter into God's presence. We enter in. Remember we said in Psalm 100, you enter His gates with thanksgiving. You enter His gates with thanksgiving. There's not really another way. There's not with stinking thinking, you're not entering the presence of God. You can come to church, you can go to small group, you can do all the religious Christianity things under the sun, but without thanksgiving and thankfulness in your heart, you're not going to get into that. Yes, God is going to come and heal, and He's going to come and restore, and He'll heal you up. It's not kind of like, oh, okay, cool, jy gaan niks kry nie. No, He's a loving Father. But it needs a matter of humility. It needs a matter of thankfulness. Now, this is a quick parallel. John 10:9. Who said the following? I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Who said that? Jesus. And I just realized that even in the psalm, I believe one can draw a parallel to that. Just symbolically, we enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving opens your eyes again to Christ. Thanksgiving opens your eyes to what? What did we say? What forms the pot? What is the basis, the root of thanksgiving? What's that word? Grace. Who's the one that brought forth grace? Christ. And if you seek Christ, the gate, if you approach Him with the fact that it is mere grace, not I deserve this, I'm entitled, I've been a Christian for 18 or 22 years. No, if you go to him as fresh with that grace perspective as day one, you're going to see the gate and you'll go through the gate being Christ Jesus. And you'll enter in and you'll be forever changed. Seek first a thankful heart. Because without a thankful heart, you'll not see that grace. I said, yeah, by grace I see, and then I give thanks. It is by grace that I see, and then give thanks. Remember, we prayed for our eyes at the beginning of the service? And I believe what our eyes just need to see again is just the copious amount, the exuberant amount of grace that's been poured out on our lives. And we miss it. I miss it. I repent. I miss it. So easily, my flesh nature just, I neek in 'n ander rigting. I just so easily miss it. And then the second thing, through giving thanks, I unlock grace even more. Will you guys stand with me, please? We enter through the gate that is Jesus into the presence of God by receiving grace and giving true thanks to God. Giving thanks is not only worship, it's not only a church, it's not only lifting up your hands, but it is being thankful for everything that you've been granted by grace. And yes, there's a bit of a divine tension. There is a battle between thinking I deserve certain things versus I really know this is just pure grace. Take a moment and just say to God three things that you're really thankful for. Lord, thank you that you heal our eyes to see your grace this morning. Father God, thank you that as Chris said this morning, you gave your son so that he can become the gate that can lead us back to you. Thank you, Lord, that is pure grace. That is undeserved. God, thank you that you rend our hearts in this time. Clean up our hearts of anything that is ungrateful. If you just, a very simple prayer, if you just want to say, Lord, if there's any ungratefulness in my heart that blocks me from thanksgiving and the gate, if you want to just ask God to take any ungratefulness out of your heart, just raise your hand and we're just going to simply pray. Is there anybody else that God's just saying, it's the ungratefulness that blocks my grace in your life? I'm just going to give a moment if God is stirring your heart. Just raise your hand and we can pray. God, we lift up our hearts and we say thank you that you just hear our prayers, you just see our hands. It's ironic that in an act of just humility, we're raising our hands, which I believe forms part of thanksgiving. Just saying, Lord, thank you that you come and take ungratefulness or entitlement or hardness of hearts out of us. Thank you, God, that you just come and make all things new in our hearts. Bring us to a place where we can see your grace. We can see true perspective. Where we can put the glasses on to be able to see and have that moment of true thanksgiving. We thank you for that, Lord. And then we just ask, and we just say, Lord, give us through your Spirit thankful hearts. We know that as we decide, the Spirit takes over. As with the wave, the Spirit takes over and just testifies to the true goodness of our God. The true goodness of our God. Lord, I pray that even where there's mountains, that some of us, mountains of discouragement that some of us have faced, and we cannot for the life of us see the goodness of God, I pray for the Spirit as we decide, Lord, I even can see your goodness in this. I'm going to see your goodness in this. As we decide, as we make the decision, thank you that the Spirit will flood us with the truth. The Spirit will flood us with perspective. The Spirit will flood us with the right glasses to see. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Come and flood us. Come and flood us, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Have your way, in Jesus' name. Amen.